This morning, I wonder how many of you like sports? Show of hands, how many of you like sports? Wow, it's almost all of you. It's often been said that life is a sport. I think there's two types of people who like sports. There are those who like to watch sports, whether it's on TV or on your phone or attending at a sporting event. And then there are people who like to get in the game, who like to get on the field, who like to play. How many of you would say that you're more of a spectator? Okay, how many of you would say you like to get in the game? And how many of you would say you used to like to get in the game, but now you just prefer to... Okay, it's all right. I'm getting older too. I was like, oh yeah, that fits. It seems like, I don't know, if you noticed, there's this new thing called esports. I mean, I know it's not super new, but it certainly wasn't a thing when I was a kid. Esports when I was a kid was this game called Pong, where there's like this little dot that went across the screen, and there was this little bar, and you kind of hit it back. It was like ping pong. Now they have esports. In fact, some colleges are giving scholarships to certain students who are so good with their thumbs that they're getting college scholarships to play video games. Now, as much as I disparage that and think that's just ridiculous, I mean, really? People watching other people playing a game? And then I think about my experience at the Mud Hens a week and a half ago, where I was just watching people play a game, although it was a physical game, not a video game. Get in the game. I love sports, and I really like I'm very competitive to a fault. Pride usually gets in the way, even though I'm a terrible athlete. It rears its ugly head even more because I think I should be better than I am, and then I get frustrated. But I much prefer to play sports than I do to watch them. There's this phenomenon in the church where it seems like we've said, let's let the business of the church, the ministry of the church, be dealt with by the professionals. I mean, truly, none of you want to pay money to see me play baseball. I guarantee you, your experience, well, actually, you would. You'd pay money. It's my wife. She would pay money to watch. That's because she knows it would be more hilarious than anything you could see on Comedy Central. You're just mocking me now. Yeah, watching me play baseball is entertaining, but not in the way that you expect. We pay money to watch professional athletes do their thing. And tragically, the church, as I've experienced it throughout my lifetime, it seems like we take that same posture of spectators watching the professionals do the ministry. When I was a kid, I remember thinking, I went to a small church in Michigan, and I literally thought it was the job of the pastor to do, well, all the ministry, and it was the job of the people to pay him to keep doing the stuff. I thought that ministry was something for professionals. It's actually, as we've talked about in the past, it's the job of the professionals to equip the church to do ministry. Ephesians 4 says this. It says, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the evangelists, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility, that is myself, Pastor Donald, Pastor Mike, Pastor Michael, Jason, Sue, Karen, our staff, our paid professional staff, it's our responsibility to equip God's people, that is you, to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Today we're continuing our series on the Alliance core values. And the Christian Missionary Alliance, our global family, has 7 core values. We've looked at 3 of them so far. The first week we talked about lost people matter to God and He wants them found. I see you. Last week we talked about this idea of everything that we have belongs to God and we are to be His stewards. So today we're going to talk about another core value. By the way, let me just say this. This is tough. And Mike, you did a great job last week teaching us. Everything we have belongs to God. Not 10%. Not 7.25%. Everything we have belongs to God, and we are His stewards. Just want that to sink in again. Okay, so today we're saying this. Completing the Great Commission will require the mobilization of every fully devoted disciple. Let's pray. Dear God, as we open your word together, we're mindful of the fact that you are God and we are not. And we desperately need, Holy Spirit, you to speak to us today. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. My Lord and Rock, Redeemer, Messiah, Savior, King. I believe, Lord, that if we could fully understand this principle, this church, this city, this state, this nation, and this world would be impacted. And that is my prayer. So Holy Spirit, take control. Open our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some churchy words here. If you're new to the whole faith thing, new to church, maybe some of you, you're not yet followers of Jesus. You're not a fully devoted disciple, or you're not even sure what that even means. We're going to just talk for a moment about this. And by the way, if that's you, you're in the right place. We're glad you're here. But there are some churchy words. I want to be really, really clear about what these words mean, particularly this word disciple. This word disciple means students. You might say it's a protege. It's someone that is being mentored by another person, someone that is seeking to follow, kind of a student-teacher relationship. In Jesus's day, it was the rabbi, and there would be a student, and the student would ask the rabbi, hey, would you mentor me? I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you in every way. I want to be like a little you. In fact, the word Christian means little Christ. It was not used as a positive term. It was actually a kind of a negative, pejorative, almost a mocking term back in the day. And of course, today in our culture, Christian means nothing really. Maybe like American or something. There's a big difference, I believe, in the way at least culture understands the word Christian and this word disciple. See, a disciple is not a Christian in name only. A disciple is someone who is a little Christ, someone who is following Jesus, who is, in this case, fully devoted to Jesus. And my question this morning is, are you a fully devoted disciple? This is not, do you believe good things in your head? This is, does your behavior look like Jesus? Does your life look like Jesus? There's a huge difference between orthodoxy, good thinking, good theology, the right beliefs, and orthopraxy, the right behavior, the right works, the right living and lifestyle. Now, I'm not saying we're saved by our works. We know that's not true. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians makes that really clear. But being saved, praying a prayer, should transform your lives to be like Jesus. It's not enough to be able to answer a Bible quiz. The question is, are you a disciple? And disciples look like Jesus. Disciples act like Jesus. Disciples are radically different from the world in how they spend their time, their talent, their treasure, in how they treat other people. The core, the one word command that Jesus says that summarizes the whole Bible is have a great day, guys. God bless you. Love, right? Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. It's all about love. It's not about theology and beliefs. It's about love. I've met some people in my lifetime that have really good theology and could answer a Bible quiz that were just stinking mean. They were grumpy, they were rude, they were selfish, they were judgmental, they were self-righteous. Love. So, if you get nothing else out of this, a fully devoted disciple is someone who loves. Are you a fully devoted disciple? All right, so Lori read our scripture for today, and it's a scripture we read a few weeks ago, and it's a scripture you're going to hear again and again and again, because these were Jesus' last words recorded in the book of Matthew. They weren't necessarily his last words on earth, but they were the conclusion of Matthew's gospel, Matthew's good news. They're really, really important because Jesus got his friends together and he said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and that's really important. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Satan does not. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he says, therefore, and you have to know what the therefore is therefore, because he has all authority, he tells them, go and make disciples of all nations. What's a disciple? It's a follower. Go and make little followers, make, reproduce the life of Jesus of all nations. Not just the United States or not just Israel, but all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he adds and he says, teach these new disciples to obey. That's that practice, that lifestyle, that behavior. Teach them to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this. And I mentioned it earlier, and I'm going to repeat it again because this is so important, family. I am with you always to the very end of the age. There's a media campaign right now. Maybe some of you have seen it. There's Facebook posts and there's TV commercials that he gets us. It's all about Jesus. He gets us. And we've connected with this, as thousands of churches have, just to say, hey, we want to be available if people are seeking out God, seeking out spirituality, seeking meaning and purpose in life. And I've had the privilege of responding to a few of these people that have come in. And one of the things that just breaks my heart, so many say, I'm lonely. I'm really, really lonely. I'm struggling with loneliness. Jesus promises to be with us always to the very end of the age. And I know you can't see Jesus, you can't give him a hug. It's by faith that we trust and believe that he is with us. And this is a promise. The Great Commission will be completed when there are disciples or followers of Jesus of all nations. Jesus has all authority. He promises his presence, which is fantastic. But here the key verbs are go and make. Go and make disciples. This is our mission. This is what we're all about. We've used the phrase restoring God's masterpieces, which is kind of the First Alliance way of describing going and making disciples. Helping people experience the joy of Jesus. Experiencing the faith and the hope and the love that come only from Jesus. The power, the healing. The Great Commission is the work involved in sharing good news and seeing men, women, and children of all the nations encounter Jesus. And as we've said, there are somewhere around 2 or 3 billion people that have never even heard the name of Jesus. I just find that astonishing in our world where we've got access to every conceivable bit of information right here, to think that billions of people, they've never even heard the good news. They're clueless that Jesus died and rose again. Now, let me say again, this command to go and make disciples, this is not for professional pastors who have gone to seminary. If that were the case, that would eliminate more than 99% of the disciple makers on this planet, and the enemy would have a field day rejoicing, thinking about how he got 99-point-something% of the players off the field. Imagine that you were playing in a sports event of whatever your favorite sport is, and 99% of the other team got sick and didn't show up. Do you think you're going to win that game? I mean, you could be playing against LeBron James and you'd win that game. Probably. Completing the Great Commission will require the mobilization of every fully devoted disciple. If you're a disciple, a follower of Jesus, discipleship is your mission. It's your commission. It's why we're here. I know some people have said, well, I just can't wait to die so I can be with Jesus. Well, Jesus has other ideas for you, and this is what he wants you to do. This is what you're supposed to be doing. This is what we're all supposed to be doing, is making disciples. That's why we're here on the planet. It's not to get rich. It's not to just watch TV all day or, you know, muddle through life until we die. We're sent on a mission because we've experienced Jesus to share Jesus with other people. That's why you're here. And when we finish the job, then he'll come back. But the job's not done because we're still here. You want Jesus to return? Go make disciples. We need you, family. We need you to get in the game. For too long, so-called Christians have been content to watch. Following Jesus is not a spectator sport. We need every fully devoted disciple making disciples. You know, we talk a lot about this triangle, this up, in, and out. And if you're unfamiliar with it, it's that we're in three types of relationships. Relationship with God, up. Relationship with one another, the church, the family of God, in. And then the relationship out with the world, to go and make disciples. Jesus called them the lost, the unchurched, those who are not yet followers of Jesus. We have the privilege of introducing them to Jesus, of inviting them to the party, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's not an obligation, it's a joy, it's a privilege. I love talking about Jesus. Three relationships. Discipleship is helping people develop up, in, and out. And the Great Commission is about making disciples, restoring God's masterpieces. Every person you encounter this week is a broken masterpiece, including the person in the mirror. We all need restoration. That's God's work, but we get to participate in his work of redemption, of reconciliation, of restoration. Jesus said this, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, I want to work backwards for a moment, because there's like four levels here, and we talk about this, and even our giving, our financial giving and the way our finances are structured, are kind of follow this Acts 1:8 model. So we're going to start with the ends of the earth. This is what most people think of when they think of missionaries or missions. There are many ways, many, many ways for you to participate in being Jesus' witnesses to the ends of the earth. In fact, I want to share seven today. These are seven ways for you to participate in the Great Commission. I've got seven blanks for you, or spaces on your flyer if you want to take notes. If you don't want to take notes, there's going to be a quiz afterwards and you'll fail. So you might want to take... No, I'm just kidding. Seven ways for you to participate. The most obvious is to go. To go. To go to the ends of the earth.
recognize at least two people. But some of you will recognize a third person. Kendra Sinkovich is up there. And this was our team that went to Germany just a few weeks ago, actually. And so that's our team. Woohoo! Eight of those people go to Westgate. Two of them go to First Alliance. Can you figure out which two? So this was a mission trip that we never saw coming, but God did. God had this planned long ago, and we got the invitation the end of January, maybe, to go in April, and we're like, sure. So we had the honor and the privilege to go to Germany and love on international workers, which is what our denomination calls missionaries. And it was an amazing experience, and it's the experience that keeps on giving. As some of you, if you were here last week, you heard our story. You'll hear more about that. But anyway, we went to Germany, and all the international workers from CMA that were in Germany, that work in Germany, met together for their forum. They have a field forum, and during that time, they are well loved on, but also there's some teaching, some praying time, and also all the child care is provided for their kiddos. So that's probably their favorite part, if we're honest. We took part in the worship, and Kirk did some teaching, and I got to love on some babies. Yeah, that was great. And he did too, actually, came in sometimes. But it was an amazing experience. And we had that opportunity, like, it was a get-to. Like, sometimes we hear this, oh my gosh, do you mean as a Christian I have to do this too? It's a get-to. It is an amazing experience. One thing I learned while over there is just how much these international workers do and how much they sacrifice. They give up everything to follow God and His calling, and it amazes me. They give up their families, and years ago I thought I wanted to do that, and then I saw them in action. I went, oh wow, it's definitely a calling. It's something that God provides you when you go. He prepares you, and it works. But it is humbling to watch these people go and make disciples. Did you want me to say anything else about Germany? I'm happy to talk any time about it because it was
incredible. Why don't you just introduce our Viren team?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is the Carey family. The Carey family will be moving into our home at the end of June. We won't be there. We're moving out. And so they're lovely. They're the team leads over there right now in Viren, Germany. And then we have the Youngs, absolutely beautiful family. And then we have the McLeans. So there's three teams. This is all in Viren. There were other international workers that came from other parts of Germany, but this is the Viren team. And there they are. They all make up the Viren team. So yeah, they're great people. The Careys will be here to speak to us at least once while they're here for the next year. And we are excited to introduce them to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Would you please give it up for my bride? It really was a fantastic trip. And for those of you, the thought of going, the thought of leaving this country, getting a passport and going overseas, whether it's long-term or short-term, for some of you, that may seem really scary because you think, well, I have to go live in a hut with snakes at my feet, and I have to eat worms and bugs all day long. And while some people have those experiences, I can tell you, we did not. We had air conditioning, and we had internet, and comfortable beds, and, you know, people in the first world need Jesus, too. And particularly young people, I just want to say, pray about where God might be leading you long-term or short-term. And older people, you're not excluded from this either. But the thing I want you to know about this trip is while there were a few professional Christians that took the trip, most of the people on our team were just lay people. I shouldn't say just lay people, that sounds pejorative. They were marketplace people. They were retirees or people just working regular jobs. They were not professional Christians, but they felt the call to go for 10 days and go to Germany. You know, our Alliance family, I always often say that missionaries are middle name of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and there's so many different ways to get in the game to go. You can explore next steps with the Alliance and with Alliance missions. There's a group called Envision, and some of you have taken trips with Envision. Envision offers short-term experiences both in the United States and overseas, and while we've taken trips, and we will be taking trips in the future, I don't have any to announce to you today, but other churches, our sister churches, always have these trips available, and if you go to weareenvision.org, you can learn about short-term trips if you want to just kind of get your feet wet and go without a lifetime commitment. We're praying for God to call men and women and children from First Alliance to go. We want to be a sending church. There's so many ways that you can get in the game with global missions. And so the first one, as I said, is to go. And the second thing that I want to encourage you to do is you can pray. And so many of you prayed for Heather and I as we went. And those prayers were so powerful. You can pray for the Life Conference that's coming up later this summer as Pastor Mike takes a team of our young people to this conference. And a big emphasis of Life Conference every year is to expose young people to the vision of global missions. So many, again, have no understanding of the opportunities, of the joy and the privilege of serving Jesus here or there. We need to pray for the lost. We need to pray for our Alliance International workers that are doing incredible things, like the Carries that we talked about, that are housing Ukrainian refugees and others. You can mobilize. The third thing, you can go, you can pray, you can mobilize. Mobilize, what does that mean? Mobilize is equipping yourself and promoting missions. There's something called the Perspectives course, perspectives.org. If you're interested in really doing a deep dive and in studying what is God doing around the world, Westgate Chapel offers this course just about every year, perspectives.org. You can join our missions committee. We would love to have some more people on our missions committee. Barb Baldwin's been our fearless leader for many years, and she does a remarkable job leading our missions committee. What does the missions committee do? Well, we promote missions. We host missionaries when they come in, international workers, and we do different events like our Global Missions Conference that we do every year. And so if you're interested in just exploring more, particularly on the international front, but maybe you don't want a passport or you don't like to fly or whatever, there's so much that you can do just staying at home. You can subscribe to the Alliance Life magazine. How many of you get Alliance Life magazine? Show of hands. Okay, this is a free magazine that the Alliance offers, great stories. Every other month, the Alliance Life magazine comes out, and it's encouraging, it's inspiring, and it equips you to help promote missions, to understand what God's doing all around the world. And then you can send. You can be a part of sending people. You family, you generously sent Heather and I, and we're so thankful for your support on this trip and our trips that we've taken to Africa to train pastors. You can be a part of sending, and some of that's a financial piece. Some of it is, again, the prayer piece or logistics piece. Today's Great Commission Day, as we talked about earlier. Don't miss the insert in your bulletin, your flyer, but I wanted to just show you one more video that just kind of emphasizes what God is doing all around the world with our Global Alliance family.
We live in a culture where relationship is key. Spending time with people is key. Taking the time to sit and build relationship is key.
We'll just sit with them, and almost every conversation, at some point, something will come up where we can say, look, that reminds me of the story from the Holy Book. Can I tell you the story? The response is, yeah, of course. I'd love to hear that story.
You have to be present. You have to have time before that kind of trust develops.
The work is slow. It takes time.
When we say they are like family,
is because that's how it really feels.
God is on the move all over the world right now. And it all starts with relationships. It starts with us loving people. It starts with us being present. And that's the theme of this year's Great Commission Day, is to be present. You can give to the Great Commission Fund today or any day of the year. 365 days a year, you can give to the Great Commission Fund. You give with the Dropbox. You can give on our website. You can give directly through the Alliance. There's so many different ways that you can give, and your gifts support the work of these international workers all over the world. I know we live in an age where charity is viewed with suspicion. What's the overhead? Who's getting rich? How much money actually gets to those people at the end? I can tell you the Christian Missionary Alliance is so lean. I believe it's one of the top-rated charities in America right now, because when you give, I mean, there's always some expense for overhead because we have to, you know, we have administrative costs. But the vast majority, when you give to the Great Commission Fund, it gets to the people on the front lines. It gets to our Ukrainian pastors that are serving. Yeah, you heard that right. We have Ukrainian pastors that are serving today in Ukraine. It gets to the Varen team in Germany. It gets to Burkina Faso in Africa. It gets to our international workers that are in South America and Southeast Asia and all over the world. You want to know how you can be a part of the Great Commission? You can give. And some of you, it means giving a dollar. For some of you, maybe a bunch of zeros after it. But it's a joy to give. In anticipation of today, we already, our family gave a gift to the Great Commission Fund, and we do each year, a couple times a year. And it's a joy because I know that the work that the Alliance family is doing is so vital to the fulfillment of what God wants to do. If you give to, we also have First Alliance missions, and that includes our faith missions partners. And many of you are aware of our faith missions partners. These are alumni from First Alliance and their families that have gone out. And I like to think of them as like our Samaria. It's sort of that next rung. You can also reach people from around the world without a passport by welcoming people, local people. People have come to Toledo. I believe it's 153 nations have been represented at the University of Toledo over the last 10 or 20 years. People from all over the world come right here. And working with Water for Ishmael, working with some other partners, we've had the privilege of interacting and sharing Jesus with people from all over the world. You can befriend an international in Toledo. You can perhaps even engage at some point in our ART team, the Afghan resettlement team. And I wanted to make an announcement about that today. As we've been partnering with Samaritan's Purse and with Water for Ishmael, it seems that at the moment, all of the people that need to be resettled have been resettled. And so we've hit pause. We haven't stopped the thing, but we've hit pause for now. But we're praying that there may be opportunities in the near future for us to restart this team and perhaps help welcome the stranger. I'll extend hospitality, serve the least of these. And whether it's future Ukrainian refugees or other Afghans or some others, we hope to be able to welcome them. And then you can serve. You can serve in so many different ways around here. You can serve internally. You can serve externally. You can serve with our home missions partners, which is like our Judea. We have 10 of them. And many of you are familiar with our home missions partners. Some of you give very generously. Some of you pray. Some of you volunteer. And those are so important. You can participate with Visible Church, our new church plant that's going to be most likely launching this fall with Michael and Janine Pollack. And then, of course, they're serving with Jerusalem. First Alliance is kind of our inner rung, like the work that God's doing here on our campus and throughout our city. There's so many ways that you can get involved and participate. Serving is part of engagement in the Great Commission. You can serve as a leader, as an elder, deacon, deaconess, trustee. You can volunteer with Kids Club United, Alliance Youth. Probably our biggest event of the year is coming up June 20th and 24th. Wow, that's only a month away. Our sports and arts camp is more fun than humans should be allowed to have. And if you're not already signed up, this is a great way to participate in the Great Commission. Invest in the next generation. If you can come for a day, for all 5 days, at the very least, you can be a mobilizing person and being prayerful. You can get involved in serving with our life groups, with dinner church, with Celebrate Recovery. We have a number of different ways that you can be involved in using your time and your talent and your treasure. We've got our tech team, our music team, our drama team, our handbell choir. These are all different ways that you can serve. You can get in the game and not just sit. And I know it's kind of funny for me to talk about getting in the game and not sitting when all of you are sitting and I'm standing up here. But family, let me tell you, I'm just the coach, and this is the sidelines. This is nothing but the pep talk, because when we're done here, I'm going to send you out those doors, or if you're online, well, whatever. And I want you to get in the game. I want you to experience the joy of serving Jesus, the joy of being a part of God's mission, of living out your potential. There are all these self-help gurus out there talking about your potential to get rich, your potential to get famous, your potential to have lots and lots of followers on Facebook, your potential to be this great No, your potential is to honor God and make disciples. That's your potential. That's far more important than anything that you'll experience in this life, because it has eternal consequences. And I want to tell you about a new experience, a new opportunity for you. It's called Masterpiece Mentors. Our elders and deacons and some of the deaconesses, we've been working for months and months on trying to figure out a way that we can disciple people, particularly in the non-spiritual way. Normally we think about church and discipleship. We think about, well, take this class, fill out these blanks, learn all this Bible trivia, and then you'll be a disciple. But like I said, that's part of it. But a true disciple has more than just right information in their head. Their heart and their hands are engaged too. And so we believe that Jesus cares for the whole person. He fed people. He healed people. He cast out demons. He was involved in the whole person. And what we've discovered for many, many years around here is that we can preach the Word of God and we can teach Bible, but sometimes there are people that are struggling with issues that are non-spiritual, you might say. Maybe they're struggling to find a job, or they're dealing with trauma and emotional abuse. Maybe they've never really learned how to do a budget, or they don't know how to parent their children. They don't know what it means to be a husband or a wife, and they find themselves in a marriage that's really frustrating. We are all broken, and we are finally at a spot, and more details are going to be coming out, but we're finally in a place where we're creating a system of mentors that will come alongside a person and resource them, equip them, hold them accountable, befriend them, and journey with them, provided they can answer one question. And the question is, do you want to get well? See, one thing we've discovered around here is there are an awful lot of people in our church and in our neighborhood and in our city and in our world that want help. And there are two types of people that want help. There are people who truly want to get well, and they're willing to do the hard, tough work of partnering with God to repair whatever is broken. And then there are people who just want attention and free stuff. It's our desire to try to discern between those two groups of people, because you can never help a person beyond where they want to go. What's that old saying? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So you're going to hear more about this in the coming days, but I'm excited to introduce this to you for the first time. This new system we're developing in partnership with Cherry Street Mission, and particularly Tom Fowler, one of our members who works there, and Tom's just been a tremendous asset in the development, and we're this isn't completely done, but we're nearly done in the development of this, and we're going to be looking for individuals that will say, I would like to devote maybe an hour a week to mentor someone, to help them, to encourage them, hold them accountable, listen to their plans. You don't have to be an expert in anything. We've got all sorts of resources. But just making sure, oh, did you go to Celebrate Recovery this week? Did you go to your life group this week? Oh, you said you were going to work on a resume. How did that go? These sorts of things. Really simple, practical tools to help mentor people. And of course, this all comes along, even in the non-spiritual areas, it all connects. So there's a lot of different ways to serve, a lot of different ways to get in the game, a lot of different ways to participate in what God's doing in making disciples. And some of you may be thinking, well, where do I begin? And let me offer this, freeshapetest.com. We've talked about this before. It's a free test. You can't fail. Now, some of you are you're like, I'm not a test taker. You can't fail this test. It's just an assessment to help you understand how God's uniquely wired you up and how you might best be able to serve. By the way, if you take it, please share the results with us. Send it to me. Send it to our office. We just love to know how God's wired you up and how you might be able to serve. So I have one final way, and then we'll wrap up. A final way for you to engage in the Great Commission. If you're a fully devoted follower of Jesus, we said that every person is necessary in fulfilling the Great Commission. This is our commission that God has given us. I think you're going to like this one. Eat. How many of you like to eat? How many of you have eaten this month? Okay. So I know you can do this. You just proved to me you can do this. I want to suggest that you eat with someone. It might be someone that doesn't know Christ. It may be someone that does know Christ. But life, the Great Commission, it's all about relationships. Ministry is all about relationships. God's mission is to seek and save the lost. And we have a variety of activities at First Alliance, but we never want to overwhelm your calendar so that you say, I don't have time to have a barbecue for my neighbors. I don't have time to invite a coworker for a cup of coffee. I don't have time to engage with other people in their hobbies. See, at the end of the day, life is all about relationships. And when we get together, when we eat together, we begin to have some conversations. See, more than anything else, family, we need to be present. We need to be present with others. When is the last time that you sat across the table from someone who didn't know Christ? Or maybe even someone who did know Christ that doesn't have your last name. There's something powerful when we have coffee together, when we sip tea together, when we share a breakfast or a lunch or a dinner, when people come over to our house or you just grab a bite to eat. See, at the end of the day, discipleship, mission, ministry, it all starts with relationships, and relationships take time. Some people have this mentality that we're just going to take a shortcut and get a megaphone and yell at people, and all of a sudden the world's going to be saved. I'm not sure how effective that is. If that's you and it works, great. But it's about relationships. We need to be present. So I just want to encourage you, eat, drink, be merry. Invite someone out for coffee this week. Have lunch with somebody. This is my challenge to you, family. You want one simple next step. Here it is. It sounds deeply spiritual, I know. Eat, drink. And for extra credit, let me know how it went. Is that simple? It's simple, but so often we don't do it because it requires intentionality. And as long as we stay to ourselves, we're not connecting with people, we're not connecting to God, we're not connecting with others, and we live in isolation from one another, and then we wonder why we feel lonely. Take a risk this week. Ask someone out for coffee. Ask someone out for tea. Have a meal with someone this week. It might be the most important first step in fulfilling the Great Commission.